Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another beautiful episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom, and we hope and pray that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you and I another beautiful day, another opportunity to do more and more good deeds so that you and I earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a reminder, we always should show thanks and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you and I want prosperity, success in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter. So next time when someone asks you, how are you doing? Instead of saying what issues you're going through and what difficulties you're going through and telling them your problems and your worries, rather say, Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, that all praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon every single state and circumstances that I may be in. And when you do this, you would see how much of barakah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in your life, inshallah. Well, today, as usual, you know, we have beautiful topics that we discuss, unraveling the wisdom and the beautiful insights into different aspects with regards to our beautiful deen of Islam and the teachings of Islam as well. And today, alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful topic as well, and that is called the dangerous wolves. Yes, the dangerous wolves. And to discuss this topic with me, I have in studio none other than our most honorable and respected guest, Mawlana An-Nawshad Attari, hafidhahullah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
How are you keeping, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, all well.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, all is well, Munasab. And Munasab, today yet again we do have another beautiful topic of discussion, and that is regarding the dangerous wolves, Munasab.
Sounds very dangerous.
Yes, and you know, as we know, wolves, they are fierce, they are dangerous. But inshallah, I wouldn't say now as to what we will be discussing. But as we go along, it will be as the element of surprise for our viewers, inshallah. And inshallah, as we go through this beautiful episode, Munasab, we will be discovering what we actually mean by the dangerous wolves, inshallah. But before that, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the closest person to me on the day of Qiyamah will be that individual, that person who has recited the most amount of salawat upon me in this world. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So let us all collectively, with love, ishq and muhabba, send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, dear viewers of Madani channel, we are Muslims, alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has placed the light, the noor of iman, of faith into our hearts. And this light, it spreads from our hearts and into our limbs, ultimately manifesting into our actions and character. Now, there are many things that cause this light to become quite, we can say, dull. It becomes to sort of dwindle. And someone may have the light of faith, the light of iman in his heart, and believe in Allah, his messengers, his angels, the holy books, the divine scriptures on the day of judgment, and the other parts of faith. But the light of faith does not manifest in his actions and character. He is a Muslim, but his actions do not reflect it. His heart is not inclined to performing good deeds, but he finds pleasures in committing sins. Astaghfirullah. Despite believing in the day of Qiyamah, he is heedless to it. Such a person is heedless to it. And seeing graveyards, and even if someone has to participate in a janazah, which should be an eye-opener for us, which should be a moment for you and I to ponder, to reflect, even in these kind of occasions, and going to places such as the graveyards, where this is a place also to ponder over one's death, that towards the end, all my big house that I have is going to mean nothing at the end. That graveyard, that is my final abode, that's our final place, dear viewers of Madini Channel. Even though they may see and visit graveyards and they would participate in funerals, cannot change their ways. So, today inshallah, let us discuss what things lead to the light of Iman being dimmed. And for this, there's a very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explaining two of these dangerous things. And through this, we would come to understand how important it is. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and the summary of this hadith is as follows, that a flock of sheep are left alone by their shepherd, and leaving them alone and defenseless, if two extremely hungry wolves, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving an example here, right? So a flock of sheep are left alone by their shepherd, leaving them alone and defenseless, if two extremely hungry wolves were to attack this flock, how much destruction would there be?
Allah.
Under normal circumstances, the wolves may only manage to eat one or two sheep, but in this case, the shepherd is not there. So the wolves, they are free to eat as many as they want. As much damage as two hungry wolves cause to an unprotected flock of sheep, even more damage is caused to a person's iman by loving money and fame.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And these two dear views of Madini Channel, these are the dangerous wolves in our lives. Wealth, greed for wealth, and hungry for name, fame, status, and it must be all over the place. These two, this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given such an excellent example. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated towards the destructions, wealth and status can bring to one's iman, and warned us to save ourselves from them. Now, Munasab, the first part, right? Two examples were mentioned here. One is wealth, and the other is fame. So when it comes to wealth, Munasab, how detrimental is wealth? I mean, first of all, if you really look at it, right, wealth, can it be deemed as something very negative, something very bad, Munasab?
See, there's a right way to take and there's a wrong way.
Right.
If we're talking about wealth, then we have people like Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So what kind of wealth we talking about? It's the usage of that wealth. Because wealth in itself is not something bad. Many good things can be done. The deen is moved forward in many aspects by wealth. The masjid affairs, the expenses, the bills,
the maintenance of it.
Maintenance. So wealth is required.
Ji.
So all depends what we're doing with this wealth. If our see, there's a beautiful analogy, right? Where they say on one side there's a wealthy person, rich man, and on the other side there's a poor person.
Right.
Now the rich man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also granted him the ability to be generous.
Ah.
So he uses his wealth and he helps the disadvantaged. Hmm. He helps the poor and needy. He helps dini causes. Right? So his heart is not attached to the wealth. Because he takes out some for his own expenses, mm-hmm. the balance, he'll invest some, and the balance of it, as much as he can, he will help the poor and needing to uplift them.
So such a person is not head over heels for their wealth.
Yeah, yeah, his heart is not attached to the wealth there.
Right.
But on the other hand, you may get a poor person that always dreaming, I wish I had money. I would buy this. I would buy a nice car, a nice house. If I had money, how can I make money? So that poor man, his heart is attached to wealth, to the dunya. So we have to put it into perspective.
Right.
Yes, if a person does not have proper Islamic upbringing and they just listen to anybody, then their heart will get attached to the dunya, attached to wealth, and the greed, the hirs, that greed will set in that can destroy them.
100%.
Because now they will always be looking for ways, and then they could reach a level where they don't care whether it's halal or haram. If it's easy money, a quick buck to make,
they won't look at all of that there.
They won't focus as long on the
as
consequences.
As long as the money is coming in.
As long as money is coming in, and there's so many people out there, so many Muslims out there that are involved in this. You know, whether it's gambling, whether it's selling illegal things, stolen things, it's happening. It's a quick money. Bribery and corruption is there as well. You know, so I met this one individual who's working for one of the departments.
Right.
And so there was a topic about bribery and corruption, which is rife, which is common in certain departments, government departments. So he was saying that, you know, everybody's doing it. I have to do it also.
Like it's a norm.
It's a norm. And if you don't do it, then everybody looks at you strange, like, hey, look at this guy. So he says, that's why I do it also. So I said, like, you know, and I thought to myself, if everybody is jumping off the cliff, you're also going to jump off the cliff.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So if everybody is doing wrong, doesn't mean you must also do wrong.
Yeah.
You're going to be held accountable for that. It is a sin. It's not allowed.
It doesn't justify it for it to be right if everyone is doing it.
Of course it doesn't. If most Muslims are missing their salah, what does it mean? We also must miss our salah. So put things into perspective. That wealth can either be used in a good way or in a bad way. And all depending on how you receive that wealth, or how you're getting it. Through halal means, there'll be blessings. To haram means, there'll be destruction. And so there's a narration that says, when the first gold coins and silver coins, dinars and dirhams were made, then shaitan took it and kissed it.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So we should ask ourselves, do I love wealth? Am I pursuing wealth? Am I accumulating wealth? Yes, you save some for the rainy days, no issue. But are you spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are encouraged in Islam to send the money ahead, send your wealth ahead and prepare for the hereafter. Because that is a believer's true wealth. Whatever you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's your real wealth.
Right.
Because you will see its benefit in the grave and hereafter as well. Whatever you left behind, it's going to be cut up in pieces and shared amongst the heirs.
100%. Subhanallah, Munasab. So from this, Munasab, we come to know that wealth in itself is not bad. It's just upon how it's used and where it's gained from.
And whether your heart is attached to it or not. That, you know, if I lose my wealth, then what is my response? If I may share a beautiful narration, a thought-provoking narration, where this wealthy individual,
right?
He used to be in the circles of wealthy people, but he was somebody that was pious. He was generous. And he was very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always showing gratitude. And then the test came, and one by one he started losing all his properties, all his wealth, to the extent he even lost his house.
Allah.
He was sleeping on the streets. The only thing he had with him was a blanket that he was able to put on the floor and sleep on it.
Right.
And the other, now once he lost that status of being wealthy, the other wealthy friends, they don't want to have nothing to do with him.
No connection, nothing.
No connection, eh? You're not in our league anymore.
I don't know you anymore.
So Allah, one of them was passing by him and recognized him. He said, hey, look at your condition, man. You are one of us in our club. Now you're sleeping on the streets. You got nothing, just this blanket. You know, so the man says that all praise is due to Allah and I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sure.
So the other wealthy person now is saying that, what do you have to be thankful for?
Despite having nothing, I mean,
you got nothing, you're thankful to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu? Sure. Why? You're supposed to be complaining, like how we do.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So the man says that, I'm thankful for those things that Allah has given me as a bounty without even me asking for it.
Subhanallah, so subhanallah.
Like, what are you talking about? He said, can't you see? I've got these two eyes, I'm able to see. I've got these ears, I'm able to hear. This tongue can speak, this mind can think. These limbs, I can use them. I can walk with my legs. Are these not great wealth and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'm thankful for these as well. But therein lies a lesson for us. Whatever we have, don't compare yourself to those who have more. If you do this, you will never be satisfied.
It's a downfall for such a person.
Big downfall. And deen teaches us, always look at those who have less than you. Not to compare yourself that I'm better, I got more than them. No. That you know what, they got less, I have more than them. Although it's little, but shukr alhamdulillah. If you can help them, help them, no problem. Right. It's good, alhamdulillah. But look at it in from that perspective, that no matter how big you are in the business world, there's always a bigger fish out there. No matter how small you are, worldly wise, there's always somebody who got less than you.
100%.
That's where you must focus and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to Islamic things, then look at those who are doing more than you. If you are reading your five daily salahs, look at those who are reading the tahajjud, ishraq, chashd.
That's a standard to look at.
This is what your deen teaches us. So you can better yourself. Okay, I'm reading my five times salah, alhamdulillah. Let me go for tahajjud, then ishraq, then awabin. Let me go for tahiyyatul masjid, tahiyyatul wudu, salatul tawbah. Okay, I'm fasting, you know, maybe on Mondays. I mean, to Mondays and Thursdays, every second day, to better yourself. So worldly-wise, look at those who have less than you to show gratitude to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
And when it comes to deeni-wise, look at those who are doing more than you so you can better yourself.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. These were truly, truly beautiful words, Munasab. And I must say, it's really, really impactful. If one can just get the perspective in order and change the way one thinks. If we have to put our mindset in the way that Murasab has mentioned, imagine how beautiful life would then be. We have wealth, you may be rich, but your heart is not attached to that wealth. Murasab has mentioned that wealth in itself is not a bad thing. It's good to have wealth, but we should be cautious of where we gain our wealth, where we're spending our wealth, and our hearts should not be attached to our wealth.
Each of us is going to be questioned about that, actually.
About one's wealth.
Yeah, where you're earning your wealth from, where you spent it.
Allah.
A person can't, a Muslim, we can't have this attitude, I worked hard for this money to build my empire. I can spend it wherever I want to. There are Muslims that I know, you know, because they have an excess of wealth now, they don't know what to do with it. Instead of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will go to casinos. You say, no, this is like extra wealth I have. Just for fun, take the family. We win, we don't win, we don't care.
I mean, that same money can, you know, strengthen or better someone else's life one day. It can go towards someone's education. Like that?
If only we can think like that, that you know what, I'm going to be accountable for this. Even if I'm just gambling for fun, it's haram.
Yeah.
The place there is haram. What if I die over there?
Allah.
How come I don't think like this? And I'm taking my family and going. Just for fun, entertainment. And you're wasting this resource, this bounty. Because of greed, actually.
Ah, so greed here is the main cause, actually.
It's the cause. Greed for more. And when you got more, what are you doing with it? That if you have more, you can earn more sawab. If you use it in the right places. 100%. At least look in your family, search in your family, you'll find a poor person.
100%. They say
you'll find a poor person.
Charity begins at home.
112%. You'll find somebody that is struggling. I mean, we're getting messages from families that... Just today, a message came.
Ji.
Genuine case. My children went to sleep hungry last night.
Allahu Akbar.
My little kids went to sleep hungry last night. No food. And you throwing your money in all these filthy places when you could have helped that family.
And that could be rewarding money. For a person.
How much of a reward? I mean, the happiness that you'll enter into their lives, the dua that they will make for you, but you're burning and you're flushing your money down the toilet by using it, and some of them turn to drugs.
Yeah.
One of the reasons, excess of wealth. A person doesn't know how to control it, what to do with it, will start experimenting with drugs.
Oh.
Or they will start buying so many cars. One person will have 10, 15 cars. But if you look in your family, you'll find somebody who doesn't have a vehicle.
And that just boils down to greed. Instead of helping someone who's less fortunate, who doesn't have much,
I help him? It's my money. I worked for it.
I worked hard for it.
This is the mentality, the backward mentality. This is the negative and backward attitude. Well, he's a poor person. He's working hard. So I'm also working hard.
And this love for wealth, Masab, it can actually destroy the iman of a Muslim. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given such a beautiful hadith, such a beautiful example in the hadith, when he gave the example of the wolves and the sheep. And that just shows how much we have to protect our iman against these two wolves, which is the wealth and the desire for fame, name, status, etc. In the previous nations, in Bani Israel, Bal'am bin Ba'ura, he was a very pious person, Masab. And people would go to him, whatever dua he would make, it would be accepted. So it's a long story, but to summarize it and just to mention the whole highlight of the story is that in the beginning, he was a pious person. But his end, it was completely different. At the end, he was ruined. His iman was finished. What led to his destruction, Masab, was the people came to him and they laid treasures in front of him. Gold, silver, you name it, whatever there was, they brought it and they laid it in front of him.
Right.
And what he did, he accepted that because initially the people told him that make dua against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. But in the beginning he said, no, I can't. And then because of seeing the wealth and the treasures, he said, okay, now I will make dua against Musa alayhi salam. And he accepted that wealth. Imagine, he is talking about a Nabi of Allah. He's talking about a Prophet of Allah. And due to accepting that wealth, Allah Ta'ala punished him in such a way that whatever dua he was making against Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, those same words were coming back at him. And his tongue came out and it was hung right up until his chest.
So he became deformed.
At the end, his iman was ruined. He was finished. And it's mentioned that Bal'am bin Ba'ura will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. And the dog of Ashabul Kahf will be admitted into Jannah. But the dog of Ashabul Kahf will be admitted into Jannah in the form and shape of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. Because he was a handsome individual as well. And Bal'am bin Ba'ura will be thrown into hell in the form and shape of that dog.
Allah.
And the main point, Munasab, how he lost his iman and ruined his own iman and caused destruction to himself was his greed for wealth.
Greed.
That was the main highlight, Masab. And Masab, you've mentioned earlier on that you'll get a poor person who would wish that he would want more. He would want more wealth. And when once he gets this wealth, then he would do this with it, he would help here, he would help there. Mm. But sometimes what happens is when such a person does get the wealth, then they forget the promises that they made initially.
Oh.
And they end up using the wealth now in all unnecessary, futile activities. Mm. And a typical example of this, Munasab, is in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was an individual by the name of Tha'alaba.
Right.
And this individual, he was very poor. He would always be in the masjid. He would always be seen for salah. And to such an extent that he was given the title, the bird of the masjid.
Allah.
That's how much, the pigeon of the masjid. Allah. That's how much he would be in
frequently in the masjid. In and frequently, out of the masjid,
yeah,
right.
Frequently, in and out. And he was poor. So he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, I am poor. Make dua to Allah that Allah Ta'ala grant me wealth, you know, so that I can do good things with it.
Mm.
And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him that, you know, be content with what you have instead of being unable to show content with the many wealth that you may have.
Mm.
But Tha'alaba, he wanted wealth. And right. Again, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua that I get wealth and I will fulfill its rights. He says all of this. So it's a long narration, Muhasab. Right. But at the end, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him. And thereafter, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with wealth. And he was granted so much of sheep and goat and so much of wealth that now his herd, it went so huge that he could no longer stay in Madinatul Munawwara.
Mm.
So he left and he went to a certain place a bit far off.
Mm.
And he settled over there.
Right.
And as time went, as days went, everyone was asking, where is this person? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking, where is Tha'alaba? Where is he? And then people informed that, you know what, he's very occupied, he's very busy with his business and he got his goats and sheep, whatever.
Mm.
And he really comes now for salah. And after some time went on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after listening to this, became sad, right? And then after a few days, after some time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent some companions to the people to collect their zakah.
Right.
They go to Tha'alaba and they tell Tha'alaba that we need zakah. This is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructing this.
Mm.
Tha'alaba at the time, he said, I can't give zakah.
Allah.
Imagine, he has so much of wealth and he's saying that I can't give zakat. He refused. And so the companions went back. After some time, Tha'alaba, he felt bad in his heart, right?
Mm.
And he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here is my zakat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept it.
Allah.
Did not accept it. Upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept his zakat.
How unfortunate he was.
So unfortunate, Muhasab. And after the physical demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the khilafat of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came back. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't accept your zakat, how can I accept it?
Allah,
how can I accept
Allah.
It? Again, refused. Khilafat of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came. And he was told the same, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not accept your zakat, how can I accept it? And then in the khilafat of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Tha'alaba passed away in his era. So we see, Munasab, how unfortunate this person turned out to be, that because of greed and the promises that he made at the onset, that I will fulfill the rights when I am granted wealth. And at the end, it was totally different.
Yeah.
So even with regards to this, the views of Madinah Inshallah, we should be cautious that if we want wealth and when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for wealth and for barakah in our rizq, we have to understand and realize that not everything is about money. Life is not always about money. Wealth is not only money. Wealth is your united family that you have. Wealth is you going to bed sleeping peacefully. All of this are different forms of wealth. It's not only currency. It's not only notes.
That's very important. An important point that you're talking about regarding our view of wealth. When a person says wealth, then same time it goes to money and
the banknotes and
But I mean, it's so much more than that. The person who has an abundance of wealth but an abundance of problems, how wealthy is he? And the one who does not have an abundance of wealth, physical, financial wealth, but he's got good health. He's got a lovely family, children, spouse, parents, siblings. He got a comfortable place, even if it's small,
100%.
Safe and secure. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, what do you call that then? He's got sukoon in his life, contentment, tranquility.
And sukoon, money can't buy. Money can't buy peace.
No, you can't. You can't. You know, that fulfillment. And if you look at it, right, they say that rich people have rich people's problems. That the more money you have, the more problems you invite. We're always hearing stories, incidences where so-and-so has been captured or kidnapped or for ransom and, you know, and that now is linked to the other angle, which is fame. Some people feel that fame is something desirable.
Where they want to chase after it and run after it.
Yeah, because if you think about it now, let's say a person who has lots of wealth, you have certain people. One person may have 10 billion. The next may have 50 billion. The next one will have 100 billion, 200 billion. So their living standards, not much change is going to be there. Because each one, although some have more than the others, but since they're in that category, they can afford more or less the same things. They can afford the same things. There's no difference in the living standards.
100%.
So now, what comes after this now? Okay, me and 10 others, we have so much of money, billions and billions, hundreds of billions. What's next? There has to be something next.
Right.
So this is where power comes in.
Oh, control. One above.
Connection. Contacts. That comes afterwards. And then for many people, yes, there are many rich people that hide themselves. They don't want to be known. But there's many others, they want to be known as rich and powerful, as the person with the contacts and connections. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, we just have to look at the lives of the celebrities. The movie actors, the musicians, the famous ones. Because somebody made them famous.
100%.
They were not born and then, you know, okay, they decided, I'm going to do acting and I'm famous instantly. Somebody behind the scenes, the puppeteers, because the actors and stuff are the puppets on the ground. So they got strings and there's puppeteers in the, on the top. They're the ones that make them famous for a reason. In order to indoctrinate the masses with immodesty, immorality, with alcohol, with drugs, with premarital, extramarital relationships.
And they are used to portray hedonism. All of this.
Yeah, they portray all of this in the movies. As the movies are not allowed. Because all junk and filth is there. Impurity is there. That's what they're teaching you. And the person who says, no, I just sit back, relax, and for entertainment purposes, I don't take it very seriously. Well, guess what? They got you exactly where they want you.
As they say, hook, line, and sinker.
Hook, line, and sinker. They got you. They want you to chill so they can indoctrinate your mind and pass those subliminal messages through, you know? And everything against Islamic values. Because you see, that culture teaches, especially between husband and wife, or parent and children, it teaches competition. And Islam teaches cooperation.
Subhanallah.
Cooperate with each other. Work together. On that side, compete with each other. Who's earning more money? Who's more famous? Who has more contacts and connections? And therefore you see over 50% of their marriages in the Western world ends in divorce. Who suffers? Mostly the children. The same children where today we have single parent homes, mostly the mother is playing the role of mother and father. And those homes, according to their own research, is showing us that the homes where there's no father present, that child either is going to become a drug addict,
Sure.
Or he's going to run away from home, or he's going to end up in jail, or going to end up as a criminal. Most cases where children are in this, or teenagers are in this category, is because there was no father in the house.
And these are sad consequences.
It's an epidemic in the Western world. It is an epidemic. One of the main reasons for the problems they have.
Right.
They call it the fatherless society.
The fatherless society.
The father is not there.
Sure.
Mother can't handle it. And so the teenager or the young boy or girl becomes a delinquent. A juvenile. Becomes a criminal. Does all the wrong things. No respect for the mother.
Allah.
Because, you know, the one who disciplines the father. Is not around. So look at the celebrities. Their lives are also broken to pieces. Their marriages do not last. You can see almost every single celebrity out there.
Right.
The marriages don't last. They're on drugs. They're alcoholics. They take antidepressants to sleep. But they got the fame. They got the money. You want that? You want name and fame? Is that the road you want to go down? Look at their lives. They have to walk around with bodyguards. If they go out in public,
they don't have a free life. I mean, you know,
you got no freedom. As soon as you come out from your house, the what they call them, those media, the journalists,
right.
They are waiting and ready to snap. Even you just woke up, hair is all disheveled, you're all untidy. Hey, they're waiting to take a picture of you, and then they'll make it viral. No freedom you got. You gotta walk around the bodyguards, and can you afford the bodyguards? Like you're untouchable. So it's not worth it.
100% Musab. And that is why, Musab, you know, this part of it, Musab, the first aspect was wealth, and the second aspect, Musab, you've mentioned it so beautifully, and the, you've actually mentioned the reality of it as well. And that is so profound. If only, you know, one has to really, really adhere to this, then I'm sure, and I have confidence in this, that one will not run behind name and fame and status and all of this.
No. Somebody may even feel like, how nice if somebody asks for my autograph. And I can even sign.
$1 million signature.
These are all illusions. It's a useless nothing.
100%.
Why chase after those things? Yeah. Name, fame and wealth. What's due to you with your efforts is going to reach you. Nobody can stop it. What's not due to you, even if it's right there, you will never grab it.
Even if you do whatever for it, still it won't come.
But doesn't mean it's not meant for you. You got to put in effort. See, end of the day, as a believer, as a Muslim, live your life to make Allah happy.
Subhanallah.
That is the secret to success. Live your, whatever I'm going to do, whatever move I'm going to make, whatever action, whatever I'm going to speak, my Allah is happy or not? My creator, my beloved Allah is happy or not? And then you go ahead and do it, if he's happy.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Well, the Abiz of Madinah, Sheryl, I'm sure that what Munasab has mentioned, that must have truly, truly made us completely understand the reality of desiring and chasing after name, fame, status, and all of these things, because at the end, it doesn't really mean anything. And you know that love of status and name and fame, all of these things, this is actually more dangerous than love of wealth.
Allah.
And inshallah, we do have a very beautiful kalam, a melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us go forward, and when we do come back, inshallah, we will elaborate on this part, that love of status, name and fame is more dangerous than love of wealth. So for now, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us go forward and listen to this melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we will soon be back thereafter to discuss further into this beautiful topic of discussion, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochega maula laya hai kya kya. Poochega maula laya hai kya kya. Main ye kahunga naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought? I will then say, the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki. Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki. Kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho. Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho. Mujhko sunana naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Apne raza ke qurban jaun. Murshid piya ke qurban jaun. Jisne sikhaya naam-e Muhammad. Dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
May I sacrifice my life for Aza, who taught the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful and melodious kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I the complete love for his beloved habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic of discussion, in which we are discussing the dangerous wolves. And these dangerous wolves, they are wealth and desire for name, fame and status. And alhamdulillah, so far throughout the program, Munasab has mentioned some beautiful pointers and some beautiful words of wisdom with regards to wealth, how wealth should be utilized, how it should be spent, how it should be sought, from where it should be sought, and that we should, most importantly, not have an attachment to our wealth. We shouldn't let the love of wealth be all over us. No, that shouldn't be the case. Rather, we should use that wealth to help others, to benefit the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of being greedy and hoarding all of that wealth for oneself. So instead of doing that, as they say, sharing is caring. So use your money for the betterment of yourself, for the betterment of others and the ummah at large, inshallah, and you would see barakah in your rizq. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, before we could go for this beautiful kalam, I have mentioned that love of status is more dangerous than love of wealth. And now, alhamdulillah, we would elaborate and discuss this in further detail, inshallah. The scholars of Islam, they say that love of status, this is more detrimental than love of wealth.
Allah.
Because people will use their time, people will use their energy to persist in chasing money, even leaving their families and business behind to do so. And on the other hand, they will quickly give their hard-earned money to acquire the false ranks and illusion, the false ranks of this world, spending their wealth like water. I mean, so many people out there, they chase fame nowadays, you know, and in this age of social media, many are seen doing anything and everything online for fame. They upload trivial or even sinful videos and take selfies in what, in their search for attention. And they are more dangerous, way more dangerous routes people take to acquire fame. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from them. So when we look in the Holy Quran, and the Holy Quran is a guide for all of mankind, when we look into the Quran and ask, what was the hereafter made for? The Quran tells you and I, the translation from Kanzul Iman, this abode of the hereafter we create for those who neither seek supremacy in the earth nor discord. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So paradise in the hereafter is for those who did not want dominance and authority in this world, nor did they spread mischief and corruption by sinning. You know, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that he who desires for his shoelaces to be better than someone else's also falls into the ruling of this verse. Allahu Akbar. Today, you and I, we compare, we compete to other people in every matter, never mind, I mean, leave alone shoelaces. Shoes, my shoes should be unique so that people praise me when they see them. My clothes must be trim and proper, extravagant, and my house must be all flashy. My car must be shining, glittery, and expensive, such that you can see your own reflection in it and use it as a mirror when you're running out of time, and so on and so forth. So what is the purpose of this competition? The desire for status, fame, and respect. Well, so these are something that are usually seen on a daily basis, Masa, where everyone goes after name, fame, and status. Some even demand respect, Masa. And if people don't respect them, then they end up getting all edged up and wonder, and they end up taking off with the person as well, like, why aren't you respecting me? And they say all of these nasty kind of words, Masa. So what can be said in this regard, Masa?
We have to constantly monitor certain things, because linked to fame is takabbur, is pride, is arrogance, is riya, is showing off, ostentation. Linked to that could also be a superiority complex. I am better. I deserve better.
Gee.
So the person has some kind of expectancy. When I walk in the room, they better stand for me. They must come and visit me. They must shake my hands. They must ask about me. They must give me and me and me. It's a very beautiful, you know, thing our teachers used to tell us.
Gee.
That the tree that is full with ripened fruit hangs down. Because of the weight of the fruit.
It hangs.
It hangs down. The branches hang down.
Right.
So that is like, to teach us like humbleness. No matter how high up the ranks you go, no matter how much of knowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, how much of wealth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, how much of beautiful kalam you can recite, qiraat of the Quran, Allah has given you, Allah can take it. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always check the heart.
Right.
Because very swiftly and subtly, quietly, that showing off can come in there. I deserve these praises. Because I'm good.
Right.
If I'm going somewhere, because I am a famous person now, famous reciter, qari, naat khan, whatever, so I'm going to charge you a nice high rate. So monitor the heart, monitor the mind, the intentions, the thoughts, all of these things.
Right.
If you're doing good, do it really to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who is going to know about it?
Sincerity should be in
there. Sincerity has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yourself, you know what your intentions are. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu knows what your intentions are. So be careful of this name and fame. It's going to destroy. It has destroyed many people in the past. And will continue to destroy people. Because I'm sure there are several narrations of warnings with regards to that person who desires for hubbe jah, for name, fame and praises of the people.
Allah, Allah. You know, Master, there's one narration wherein, especially, you know, since we have, you know, time, as we say, time is always of the essence. And this is such a topic, Master, that it's so vast. I mean, it goes so deep. But to highlight, especially for our views of Madani Channel, the destruction of desiring and going after name and fame and status is so, so severe, so bad that the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Jundub radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he reports and he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that he who makes people hear of his good deeds, Allah ta'ala will let the people know of his real intention.
Allah.
And he who does good things in public to show off and to receive praise, Allah Ta'ala will disclose his real intention. Now, under this hadith, so this before we can conclude, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi rahimahullah, he says that whoever performs worship to tell people or show off in front of others, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will let the people know of his actions in this world or the hereafter.
Allah.
Not with honor, but with disgrace.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. And the people will hear of his actions and they will criticize him. So take this hadith, this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and let us not be amongst those who have love for wealth and who desire name, fame and status. Until next time, stay wise, stay kind, and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.